Welcome to Good Calls with Dean Blandino, a production of iHeartRadio.
Hey, what's up? Dean Blandino. Welcome to another episode of Good Calls with me, Dean Blandino. And joining me, again, doing the social distancing thing, joining me via Zoom, Travis Hanson. Travis, what's up?
I've never missed you guys so much. I mean that so much.
I miss everything right now.
Yeah.
I miss things. Like, I just miss, like, thing. Just, like, I miss going, I miss the supermarket. I don't know. Joe, how are you doing before we get going?
I miss things too. I think I texted you guys that I just want to go to the mall, get a boba, and buy some Lululemon sweats. Like, that's all I want to do.
I was dying when I read that.
That's all. Is that too much to ask?
No, it's no. But I do. I like the fact that Travis is outside, and I can every once in a while I can hear a little bird chirping, and I think that it just gives me hope for we're going to come out of this and there's a brighter future. So we're going to start the show on a positive because I got a lot of negative to talk about. But we're going to start with a positive. Did you guys catch the iHeart, the concert last night, the iHeart Radio concert on Fox?
I saw some of the videos on YouTube. I didn't watch it live, but really cool, though. A lot of big names.
So our podcast, iHeart Radio produces, iHeart produces our podcast. And Travis, all three of us work for Fox, and none of you guys watched any of it.
I don't have Fox. I don't have TV.
Yo, stop.
I really don't.
You don't have Fox?
I have Netflix and YouTube. That's it.
Okay. You're a cord cutter.
I'm just poor, Dean.
Okay. Well, I told him to get an over-the-air antenna, but he said he's not going to get an HD antenna, which that's what I have. But I miss it. I was feeding my son, I'm sure, at that time.
Of course. Travis, you would think he has 13 kids. He has two.
I don't know how Philip Rivers does it.
I want to do a reality show where you adopt 8 more kids. And it's just you and 10 kids running around. That's what I want to see.
Could you imagine how often we would have to hear about the kids?
The complaining would be nonstop. Like, we had a conversation when we were going to record the podcast, and Joe like legitimately got upset because Travis like gave him a short window during the day, and Joe was like, what are you doing? Like, Joe's like, hey, you want to do it at 3 a.m.? Yeah, I'm in. 6 p.m.? Yeah, I'm in.
Like, I have nothing
Travis,
else to
we're
do.
We're going to get to Travis's day. We're going to get to Travis's day. Don't worry.
This is my one blocked off hour of the week.
But it was really cool. So what it was is it was a bunch of artists in their homes, and they put on like kind of like an impromptu concert, and they recorded, you know, it was Elton John and Tim McGraw, and there was Mariah Carey and Billy Joe Armstrong from Green Day. It was really cool, and they had someone singing, and then they had a couple of musicians in their homes, and they tied it all together. Technically, I don't know how they did it, but they tied it all together, and it was just really just kind of cool to see, you know, all these people, all these singers and these entertainers basically in the same place as us, you know, sitting at home, but they were, you know, they were performing for us. So it was pretty cool to watch.
I did watch the Dave Grohl performance. I saw it on YouTube.
Yeah.
And there was like, it seemed like there was like 4 cameras in there. There was a ton of different angles they were cutting between and played, you know, Foo Fighters, one of my favorite bands. He played My Hero, which is like a great song for this time. And I thought it was a really nice performance.
It was. That is a great song for this time, Travis. Thanks for that. Backstreet Boys performed. I'm a big Backstreet Boys fan. I'd love to. Okay, let's do this. I'm not sure. Have you ever done this? Okay, Joe, Backstreet Boys or NSYNC?
NSYNC.
Oh, we can't be friends anymore. Travis?
It's fine.
NSYNC.
Oh, look at who's the odd man out.
What? I've been friends with you guys this long.
Well, simply because Timberlake.
It's not even. Okay. We're talking about group. We're talking about a group. All right. You just named one guy. And I agree. Justin Timberlake has been the most successful. And you could argue is the most talented. of both groups. But when you talk about a group, not Justin Timberlake and the rest of NSYNC, it's NSYNC and Backstreet Boys. Okay. Backstreet Boys have the better, they've got the better history. They've got better music.
Wait, still okay. Performing. Let's go top three songs of each band. Sadly, well, not sadly, thankfully, I don't know them.
What's your favorite NSYNC fan? NSYNC song.
I don't know the answer to that question. I got to pull
it up. And all of a sudden you chose them.
I chose them too because of Justin Timberlake. I'm looking at songs, I think I like Backstreet better.
Thank you. Thank you. You immediately went to Justin, and I understand that. But when you dive down and you start to do a little research and you start to listen, Backstreet has the better music.
Well, who was the more success? Who sold more albums?
Backstreet, but they've been performing longer.
Which one's Bye Bye Bye? Is that Backstreet?
That's NSYNC.
See, that's a good song.
That it is a good song. I'm not saying I dislike NSYNC.
Okay, what's Backstreet's big song? Again, I want it that way.
I want it that way.
Okay. Hello? Yeah, that's a good one. But what else?
Yeah, thank you.
Quit playing games.
Backstreet's back again. Show me the meaning of being lonely. They're still performing.
As long as you love me.
They just put out another single, Don't Go Breaking My Heart, 2018.
I think Dean's got it. I think Backstreet Boys.
Incomplete. Thank you.
Travis, you always agree with Dean.
Not always.
No, not always.
Mm. We'll find something we disagree on.
Okay. I'm sticking with JT. Sticking with my guy.
Unbelievable. So give us, Travis, any updates? You know, and I don't know if we have much in terms of, you know, cancellations, postponements, things like that. I did read today that looks like Wimbledon is going to be.
Wimbledon's been canceled. The U.S. Yeah. Open of Golf will not take place as scheduled in late June. Indianapolis 500's been moved to August. That was supposed to be May 24th. Tokyo set a date for the 2021 Olympics now in July 23rd through August 8th. And then we had talked about some of the things the dates that have come and gone. So MLB 2020 opening day has come and gone. Like there was, you know, the LA Times and the New York Post had different pictures of empty stadiums and those things. It's just showing that no baseball. Also, you know, March Madness would be coming up this weekend.
And Final Four would be Saturday.
Final Four, right. I did see that no matter what, whether SoFi opens in 2020 this year, they still will host the Super Bowl 56 in 2022. So okay. Those are some of the sports headlines. And then no NFL owners meetings, but they were going to do a conference call. You'll probably add more to that later, I would expect.
Yeah, we can talk about that. Some things that are happening, did anybody watch the NASCAR? They've had a couple of virtual races. Did anybody catch that?
No.
Crickets.
Right? Nobody?
Oh, wait. Hold on. I think
I watched the highlights. Thank you. I don't normally watch NASCAR, but obviously I'm starved for some kind of like competitive something. So, and I can't do like, I'm doing like cornhole with my kids, like a dollar a hole now. Like it's getting like really like definitely contributing to the delinquency of minors right now. But the NASCAR virtual race, like these guys, the drivers, they all sit at home and they've got like setups at home and they're racing against each other, and they showed the highlights, and there were, I don't watch a lot of NASCAR, but it felt like there were a lot more crashes in the virtual race than there were in a normal race, which is good, thankfully. I mean, no one got
hurt. Not as much on the line.
No one got hurt because these guys are just like, fuck it, you know? I've got that line. I'm gonna go for it. Yeah. And they don't have, because it was like, it felt like every ESPN was showing the highlights, and every 5 seconds there was another wreck. And so I thought that was pretty interesting.
When you go race cars in Vegas, they make you do those before, And they're hard. They're way harder than a real car because you can't feel, you know, the inertia.
Well, that's what Dale Earnhardt Jr. was saying. He said it's just a different. He said it's completely obviously it's different. He, you know, he said it's just a different, just dynamic and it's a lot harder. But I watched it. I mean, I know it goes back to the, it goes back to like the Eddie Murphy. You remember Eddie Murphy? I think it was either Raw or Delirious when he talked about. When he talked about when you're starving and you haven't eaten in a while and somebody gives you a Ritz cracker, then you're going to think that's the best Ritz cracker ever.
Yeah.
I mean, he was referring to when you don't get something else after a long time and then you get it. It's the best you've ever had. So the Ritz cracker, I felt like that last night was my Ritz cracker that I thought was the best thing ever.
Well, have you seen that like the Phoenix Suns are doing Twitch games or gaming on Twitch?
Yeah.
MLB is doing the same. NHL is doing it.
Esports is, I think, probably going to be something that's big that people can do from home. And look, I'd watch, you know, a bunch of NBA players playing against each other.
So soon we're going to be in better shape than the pro athletes. So that's good. Because all the pro athletes are just going to be gamers.
Joe said that he could be a pro athlete if he was 6 inches taller.
4 inches.
4 inches. Okay. Even better. 4 inches taller. Travis, what else? We were talking earlier before we started recording about just some things like pro athletes. And, you know, Aaron Rodgers had a pretty interesting story trying to get out of Peru. I guess he was traveling with a small group in Peru right as things were shutting down and had a pretty hectic, scary kind of getting out of Peru and getting back to the States. Don't worry, he's resting at his Malibu home, only a couple miles away from me. I'm sure he's got a pretty nice setup, but I do like Aaron Rodgers quite a bit. So what are some other things you're hearing, reading about what athletes are doing? Like, I know a lot of athletes are, you know, donating to charities and getting involved themselves. What's going on?
I've seen a few, you know, like early on you had Zion Williamson. He covered the salaries of all the staff working at the Smoothie King Center. Kevin Love did something similar, donated $100,000 to the staff at the Rocket Mutual Fieldhouse. JJ Watt and his wife donated $350,000 to the Houston Food Banks. Russell Wilson and Ciara donated 1 million meals in Seattle. Then you have the Augusta National giving $2 million for virus tests and relief. And Drew Brees committed $5 million to help Louisiana. And then, you know, owners and organizations are getting involved. And I saw one, Steve Ballmer, pledged $25 million to coronavirus aid and vaccine research. So you're having you have a lot of celebrities and sports figures getting involved, and celebrities as well.
So what's the celebrity Dean Blandino doing?
What am I doing?
Yeah.
I am social distancing right now. That's what I'm doing.
Nice job, buddy.
I'm doing my part to stay away from people. But I did go for a walk, and we're going to talk about my walk. Wow. Dean's walk later.
You've been social distancing since I've known you.
I know. But now I've been social distancing forever. Now that everybody's doing it, now it's a cool thing.
I was doing this before everyone.
I'm like, screw you. And now I don't want to do it because I'm being told to do it. And I'm like, this has been my thing for a while. And now all of a sudden it's like, oh, cool. Joe, I watched some highlights again. I gotta watch SportsCenter. I need something. And I watched some highlights of some pretty weird sports. Like, are there live sports happening right now in the world? Can I go online and can I find something?
I saw marble racing. I actually watched a race. It looks like those old school racetracks when you're a kid with the cars that go around.
Yeah.
And they announce it and everything. When the marble gets to the end, it shoots another marble out of the top, and they just time how fast the marble gets around the track. So
not racing against each other. It's timed.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So it's like skiing where you're
time trials.
Yeah.
So there's that. I think there's some soccer still going. I think you mentioned that there was some soccer with no.
There's definitely no fans soccer happening somewhere in the world.
I know all the gamblers are betting on esports, And I know all the poker sites, like even the ones that are, you know, they're
so what is legal. So our sportsbook in Vegas, what are they, what are people betting on in sportsbooks right
now? Esports right now. Everyone's betting on esports. If there is soccer games, we're probably betting on soccer. Horse racing still going on. That's pretty much it, man. I know the casinos are getting destroyed.
Oh, I don't feel bad for them.
Casinos are closed?
Closed.
So you can't even... I wonder if like, say, like an MGM could come up with like an online casino.
So I just logged on to an online casino, right? You got...
Of course you did.
Sports Sim. Madden. You could bet on Madden NFL 2020. There's props, of course, football props. Basketball games. There's some China basketball. There's some sports simulation. NBA 2K you could bet on. Or game.
WWE's been going on WWE. Too, right?
But I don't think could you bet on WWE before?
I'm sure you could. I've never seen a line for WWE, but I mean,
it's still scripted, so I can't imagine that would be.
Oh, here's a good one.
Yeah, you think you'd be able to find a line into that to get the results. Well,
you could bet on things like the Grammys and even like Survivor. And people know that stuff. They usually just limit how much you could bet on it. Mm-hmm. You could actually bet on the New York Lotto.
What do you mean bet on it?
How's that work?
So
they're still doing Lotto in New York?
Takes high, even, takes high, odd. I don't even know. I don't know the Lotto, but you could all ball takes total all balls 3 of 30 over 100.5 even money. So you could bet on the Lotto. You could bet on betting, which is pretty amazing.
That's pretty awesome.
That's pretty wild. Like I'm gonna go to a casino and watch some guy play, you know, blackjack, and then bet on how he's gonna do.
Well, I mean, poker players do it all the time. They take pieces of each other's action.
Sure.
Happens, you know, all the time. Tons of esports. Yeah, Rainbow Six, League of Legends, Counter-Strike, Dota 2. Don't even know.
So I can go and bet on it like an esports on like, you know.
Yeah. I've seen
J26 Neutron versus.
Well, let's see. You know. Let's see. League of Legends. Crow Crowd versus Win Request.
Let's go. Let's drop a bet. Let's put
Crow Crowd's a huge favorite. He's -390.
No, let's go with the underdog. Let's go.
Win Request.
Esports. Anything could happen.
All right. Win Request +149. No, +265.
+265.
That's Rainbow Six. I mean, dude, if a guy gets lucky and, you know, throws the proper grenade, forget it.
100%.
Who's making these lines?
That's insane.
Here's League of Legends. Spear Gaming versus Element Mystic. Oz Gaming versus Team Dynamics. Diffuse Kids versus PSV Esports. That's Devils crazy. One. A Go Rogue.
I think it's time to move on.
Yes, 100%. The fact that's happening, I get esports, but now this is the only thing that we could possibly... Let's go. Let's take a break. When we come back, we're going to get into some meat and potatoes. We're going to talk some NFL rules change before. All right, we're back on Good Calls. Let's jump right into some NFL stuff. So on Monday, that would have been the start of the league meeting, the March meeting. The NFL has several league meetings throughout the course of the year. Two main ones occur in the offseason. The biggest one is the March meeting. That's when you get all of your ownership together. You get your coaches, your GMs, essential personnel at each club. You have a ton of league office people. And that's where they meet. There are sessions. They talk about rules changes. They actually vote on rules changes. They vote on bylaw proposals, things like that. They go through everything. It's basically the state of the union for the NFL. The commissioner speaks, and they have several presentations. I was lucky enough to be able to be at a bunch of those and actually give presentations to the entire group and talk about, you know, rules and officiating and the game itself. So that would have been Monday and it would have gone through Wednesday, but that's been canceled, obviously, and everything has been pushed back to the May meeting, which is in the middle toward the end of May. What the league did do, they had a competition committee meeting, and basically this took place on Monday the 23rd. And normally they would meet for several days leading up to the league meeting, but obviously with what's going on, it was very abbreviated and ended up being only about a 2-hour conference call. And on that call, you had members of the competition committee, people from the league office, and they discussed the club rules proposals, so the rules change proposals that came from teams, and also the competition committee is proposing several rules changes. So I just kind of want to go through. We did go through the club proposals a couple of weeks ago. Those were made public. And I'll just give you a quick summary and then we'll jump into what the competition committee is proposing. So first one, it was the Eagles proposed a change to the blindside block rule. And this really, what it does is think the play in the Texans Buffalo playoff game. And there was a blindside block that was called. It ended up being a pretty big call. It was on Cody. I think it was Cody Parker was the offensive lineman for the Bills. He was called for a blindside block. It wasn't a real big time, you know, knock the guy off his feet type block, but technically by the letter of the law, it was a foul. And what Philadelphia is proposing is that the language is changed to say that any block when you initiate with the forearm, the shoulder to an opponent who can't reasonably expect that contact, that would be a blindside block. So it basically puts a little more discretion on the officials and says, you know, if that defender can't protect himself, can't expect that block, then you can't block him forcibly to the body. So that was one. The other couple of rules change proposals from the clubs, the alternate to the onside kick, and this would be, you know, attempting a 4th-and-15 play from the 25. That got some support from the competition committee. So I think the committee split on this. I still don't think you're going to get, remember, you need 24 votes, 24 yes votes out of 32 to pass a rule. I don't think you have 24 clubs that are going to pass that, that are going to say yes to that. But again, I think that's gaining momentum and we'll continue to see how that goes. The coin toss, you know, trying to get rid of the coin toss in overtime, so the team that scores more touchdowns during the game would get the option at the start of the game at the start of overtime, and if the touchdowns were equal, then it would just go back to a coin toss. Going back to a 15-minute overtime period in preseason and regular season, that was another proposed change. And then you get into these last couple, which are really interesting when you talk about the sky judge concept, right? So It's Baltimore and the Chargers as a joint proposal talked about adding another member to the officiating crew that can sit up in the press box, watch the video, and help out on administrative things and help the officials on the field and just be a normal part of the crew and be able to get involved. So those are the club proposals. The competition committee proposals. So they're gonna propose a couple of things. The first one is gonna be a kick returner. And so right now, a punt returner that I'm waiting to catch a kick, I'm protected as a defenseless player until I actually catch the kick. After I catch it, now I can be hit in the head neck area. Well, they're going to extend that protection to basically say, like a receiver who's trying to catch a pass, that returner is protected until he has time to clearly become a runner. So until he has time to clearly protect himself. So they're extending that protection a little bit longer than just catching the ball, which I think is a good change. It's more or less how it's being officiated today. And so the committee is just going to make the rule more in line with how it's being officiated. The next competition committee, this is a minor cleanup. This is a unsportsmanlike conduct or personal foul on a missed field goal attempt. So let's say the Lions are – here's a rules question for you. You ready?
Ready.
Do it.
Okay. This is whoever buzz in. And if you think you know the answer, buzz in and then answer it. Okay. So the Lions are playing the Chiefs. The Lions are, it's 4th-and-10 from the Chiefs 20-yard line. The Lions are attempting lined up for a field goal attempt. The field goal attempt is no good, wide right. During the play, the left guard grabbed and twisted the defensive player, the Chiefs defensive player's face mask, and there's a flag down for a face mask. Okay. Where is the next snap? How is that penalty enforced, and where is the next snap?
Should be the Chiefs ball, Buzz.
I buzzed in.
And I did not buzz in.
So Chiefs ball, okay.
So they should decline that penalty, right? And then they should have the ball. It should be their ball at the 20 now.
Okay, at the 20?
Yeah, so I think they don't decline the penalty. They take the 10 penalty and they get the 10 yards out because they were at the 10, right?
So they snap from the 20.
Okay, so then they should get the ball from the 30.
Okay, so here's a couple of things. So Travis was more right than Joe, but neither one of you was. Joe was like way more wrong, but neither one of you was 100% right. So,
well, no, what Travis said is there's just no penalty. They just get the ball.
No. They get the penalty, but they just decline the penalty. Then it's their ball.
So by rule, in 2019, the Chiefs would have to decline the penalty to get the ball. Those penalties didn't carry over. Now, Joe, you were carrying them over. You only carried over 10 yards, face mask 15 yards, but so you missed 5 yards there. You've been watching football how long? How many years?
Only but, one professional.
So here's the thing. Two. But it's also, but the, it's not the Chiefs ball at the 20 because the ball was snapped from the 20. That means this kick, the spot
went through the end zone,
8 yards back. Well, that's not a touchback. The ball was snapped, kicked from 8 yards back. So at the 28, so you go back to the spot of the kick. So in 2019, the Chiefs would have got the ball first and 10 at the 28. What this change will do, it will allow the Chiefs to get the ball and carry over the 15-yard penalty. So now you can tack on the 15-yard penalty.
So what you're saying is I'm actually ahead of my time.
You were ahead of your time. You're okay. Bad at math, but you were ahead of your time.
That's fair.
That's a good penalty. I like that. That's a good rule.
How about this one? This is a good one. I want your opinion on this. So this is, I don't know if you guys remember the play 2 years ago. It was Eagles, Bears playoffs. And there was a play where the pass was ruled incomplete. And the ball was just sitting on the ground. Nobody recovered it. And it went to review and they made it a catch fumble. But they determined because there was no clear recovery, the ruling on the field of incomplete pass stood. I think a lot of people were confused by that as to why, if it was a catch and a fumble, why are we going back to an incomplete? And that was the rule because there was no immediate recovery, no clear recovery in the immediate continuing action. What this change will do is that if there's no recovery in the immediate continuing action, instead of reverting back to the call on the field, they will give the ball to the team that was last in possession at the spot where possession was lost. So in that play, the Bears had the football. Instead of it going back to an incomplete pass, the Bears would get a catch and they would get the ball at the spot where they fumbled. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense. Getting
blank looks.
No, well, I get it, but I just think, I mean, once they whistle the play dead, then the play's dead, right?
Well, that's why with no immediate continuing action, the recovery, that's why when we put the rule in, we said, look, both teams, one team may be affected by the whistle. And so we really don't want to advantage or disadvantage either team. We're going to go back to just the original ruling on the field. What this does is allows for the catch in that instance. And it just comes back to the spot of the fumble. It's interesting.
I like that better.
Doesn't happen very often, but it is something that
nowadays it seems like dudes grab the ball no matter what, just in case. Because
well, that's
of the
what
replay.
They're coached. I mean, they're coached. You talk to every coaching staff; they're coaching their players play through the loose ball, jump on it, pick it up. And I've always told clubs when I talk to them, whether it's college coaches or NFL coaches, you've got to tell your guys to jump on that loose ball, and no matter what, don't let it sit there because you can, you know, if it goes to review, you can get the football. Last change, this has to do with, we've seen New England do it. Tennessee did it. You know, I'm trying to think who else did it. Baltimore, maybe. This was the consecutive fouls, delay a game to bleed the clock, right, to take the time off the clock. And so this will basically say that if the offense commits two consecutive dead ball fouls, that the clock will start on the snap. So you can't You can't have a delay a game, let the play clock go all the way to zero, delay a game, and then let the play clock go all the way to zero again and false start. Now it would go on the snap. So you can't manipulate the game clock by committing those multiple dead ball fouls. And that's it. It's a quiet year in terms of rule changes, and I think that's good. I think that's important. I don't like a lot of rule changes every year, especially with what's going on today. Think about if things get pushed back and officials can't get together and they can't have clinics and things like that. Now you're trying to learn a whole bunch of new rules. Players, you know, they're gonna miss preparation time. So I like the fact that there's not a lot of rules changes going into hopefully the 2020 season at this point.
Yeah, we're not going to see any OTAs likely. You're not going to see these mini camps, rookie mini camps. So teaching the players, getting them up to speed on the rules would be tough too. So,
yeah, without question. And I think teams are doing now, you know, they're just trying to figure out, they're doing virtual meetings. And, you know, that's what I wanted to talk about. So I started having Zoom meetings, you know, on the college side. I have one tomorrow coming up. I had several last week where we basically went through the entire NCAA replay casebook. So we went through the replay rule. We went through all the casebooks. So the casebook is basically a list of play situations that officials can reference. And so it's like, you know, team A has the ball first and 10 at 20, pass is ruled complete, ball hit the ground. What's the ruling? And it goes through the ruling. And so I've got the book here in front of me. And so there's almost 200 plays in this book. And we went through, you know, we're in the process of going through all of them. Myself, Steve Shaw, who's the national coordinator of officials, and Bill Carollo, who's the coordinator of officials for the Big Ten and the Mid-American Conference, also has some lower level conferences like Missouri Valley, who's on the replay committee, the chair of the NCAA replay committee. We went through all of these plays, and we did it on Zoom. And I'm telling you, worked really well. It actually worked better on Zoom than it would have been if we were in person, because we had we had an electronic version of the book in front of us, and we could talk through it, and we could make the edits in real time as we discussed.
That's pretty cool.
The edits were saved, and so it worked really well. What we're going to start. I'm putting together videos now, and I'm going to start having Zoom calls with all of the Division I conferences that have replay, and we're going to start doing hour-long Zoom calls with each conference every week and go through and work with their replay officials, have interaction with them. I'm able to share my screen with them and show the video and talk through it. And then the other thing I'm probably going to do is I'm probably going to do some live streams on Instagram where anybody can come on. And, you know, anybody that follows me can come on and watch my live stream and go through plays and just interact with people and get some dialogue going, because we're going to have to just, you know, start preparing like the season's going to start, you know, in September, and we got to figure out ways to do it. So that's kind of what my next couple of weeks are going to look like, other than, you know, staying in and trying to remain positive during this crazy time.
That's cool. All the innovative things you see with how people are having to do stuff with TV and meetings. And I, you know, talk to a lot of friends who travel for work, and you travel a lot, Dean. It's like, this could limit the amount of travel, like going forward. Like, you might not have to fly across the country or fly to Houston or fly to Charlotte or Chicago for these meetings. It'll be great for you and for your family life and just being at home.
Yeah, I think one of the things that will come out of this, I agree with you 100%, is that there are a lot of meetings, and I'm sure there are a lot of businesses now that will look at, hey, our travel costs are X, Y, and Z for these meetings that we're having. And when we can do them remotely, obviously there's things that you have to do in person and other things. But I think we're going to see a pared down version of business, you know, in terms of face to face and that kind of thing. And things like Zoom or Microsoft Teams or whatever else it is are going to be really the wave of the future. Even
miss
more
out so. On all the happy hours. That's too bad, right?
Well, people are doing FaceTime happy hours now. Have you heard this? Like,
oh, I have. My wife's done it.
Yeah, like getting together. I don't know. I can't. I have a hard time like just drinking. I'm still like. I'm not with you guys, so I don't know. I have a hard time drinking by myself, but I don't know. it's a weird time. And
we've been doing those happy hours every day with Yanni and crew.
Have you?
Yeah. Every day.
Well, Joe, we're going to talk about that. Let's go to a break and then we're going to find out how. All right, we're back on Good Calls. And I just want to know, have you done your homework assignment? And have you watched the phenomenon other than coronavirus, the other phenomenon that is sweeping the nation, Tiger King?
Well, I watched two episodes and then I watched the last one because I knew we wanted to talk about it today.
So you cheat, like you're doing what do you do? Like the clip notes? Like what are you doing?
Well, I was only into it a little bit, so I was like, I just want to see how this ends.
So you miss so much though.
I gotta be honest with you. How first, I have so many questions. How can you only be into it a little bit? It's the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen in my life.
It's so insane. Like,
well, you guys know the saying of you can't look away from a train wreck, but I can look away from a train wreck. But so
Travis is the one person that he's like, there's a giant train wreck in front of him, and Travis is just like, going along with his day.
Honestly, that show, it's overload because it's like, what?
There's 19 train wrecks happening every episode.
Yeah.
Like, start with Joe Exotic. Okay.
All right. Which, by the way, you can never call me that again. Like,
okay, but start with him. Start just him alone. Okay, then you add the cast of characters in his zoo. Okay, he's married to
they're all convicts, ex-convicts.
He's married to two straight dudes that are just into the cats and meth. Okay. All right. They're all convicts. The head zookeeper, who might be my favorite, the dude with the long hair, The girl that gets her arm bitten off, the other guy has no legs.
Yeah.
He has no legs. And he's like, you probably think there might have been it from a tiger accident. Nope, zip lining. Like, what? Okay, so you start there. Then you go to Carol in Tampa at Big Cat Rescue, who is being accused of feeding her ex, her husband, her missing husband,
to
the lions and the tigers. Okay.
Which she probably did, right? Can we agree on that?
It's very possible. It's very possible. And then you go, who actually, I want to move there. Doc Antle, the guy in South Carolina, the thing he has going there, like he's got a cult of, seems like the most amazing place in the world.
The dude who came rolling up on the elephant, right?
On the elephant. And then did you see him? So Joe, did you see the scene when he takes the elephant into like the river to bathe and there's like boaters going by?
Right. I saw that.
Could you imagine, Joe, like in the river, like in your house, your river house in Arizona, if we were like on the boat and all of a sudden we saw this guy with an elephant coming off, like what?
My favorite part of the whole show, when I realized it was the most insane, ridiculous thing I've ever seen, is when what's the douchebag guy's name? The Lowe? Is that his last name?
Jeff Lowe.
Oh my God. That guy's the best.
He's the best. When he pulls up in a Ferrari with a tiger in the passenger seat, and it was like, that's not that weird. when a guy pulls up in a Ferrari, there's a tiger in the passenger seat, and you're like, oh, that's totally normal.
But you are watching the most ridiculous show ever. I'm already like, this is insane. This is the craziest thing ever. And then they introduced Jeff Lowe and I'm like, wait, no, not. And he's not like a guy in like a button down shirt and a pair of khakis. He's a guy who's so single-handedly keeping Affliction afloat. Number one.
Absolutely.
He's got the jeans with the like, you know, the elaborate back pocket design.
A true religion makes them, right?
Do-rag with a hat over it.
The do-rag with the hat over it. With, I don't know if he's got fake hair coming out of the back of that thing, but, and then he's going to take over, and then he joins forces with the other guy, Tim, who's a maniac too.
That's the killer.
No. The killer.
No. That was Alan.
That was Alan. How about Alan? When they interview Alan in the bathtub, like when they were like, was Alan like, hey, I'm about to take a bath. You know, you still want to do this interview? They're like, yeah, go for it. Let's do it. It's insane.
So think about this, Dean. This is the thought that I had. So think about all the footage we saw that was completely out of this world, the most ridiculous thing you've ever seen. And yet all the footage got burned. Like, what was on those tapes? Remember, everything got burned.
Look, his show, his all his stuff that he was shooting in his studio, which he burned down, by the way. Like, he basically burned down his own place because he thought that they were going to come after him.
Allegedly. We don't know that for
allegedly. Then you got the other guy that you sent me the picture of, the other guy on the jet ski.
What was that?
That guy who's ratting people out left and right. It's like, where do you, like, I wanted 100 more episodes.
Remember,
these are still open cases, so there may be more episodes coming, right?
Remember, Eastbound and Down?
He's still in prison. I don't think anything has been. The guy that took the money, Alan, I mean, he took $3,000 to go kill Carol Baskin and never did it, but basically got off scot-free at this point.
Which doesn't make any sense.
Jeff Lowe clearly involved. I mean, Jeff Lowe was diagramming the whole thing. Like, he was writing the playbook as to how we're gonna kill this bitch. And it was like, oh my God, it's insane.
I don't understand why they wanted her dead, just because she was competition for their business.
She was trying to get, you know, yeah, she, I think obviously he's a little bit off, but she was trying to prevent them from being able. The only way they were making
to
money
to breed them really, and sell them is what breed, she was
they
trying
were
to
breeding
prevent.
And selling. They were doing the petting. But Joe, like, when Jeff Lowe's taking tiger cubs in a suitcase in Vegas up yeah. to suites, like that, I feel like that's something you would do.
Yeah, I'd do that.
I better no, I feel like you would like you would take like somebody out, you'd be like, hey, I got a surprise. And take them up to that suite and have them petting tiger cubs.
Yeah. You know, it's funny that you say that, because when I watched that, I was like, oh, that's illegal?
Yeah.
I'm like, I didn't even know that. Like,
how many Vegas suites have you been in where there have been tiger cubs?
Well, none, but like, I don't understand what's the big deal? I can't take a puppy up there.
What's crazy is that there are more tigers in captivity than in the wild. Like, there are more in our country, in the United States, in like, and who knows, like, these are three, you know, the big cat rescue, the Joe Exotics place, the place in South Carolina. But who knows, they've been selling these tigers for how many years? Like, there's some dude down the block from me in Santa Monica who's in a 2-bedroom apartment and has a tiger. Like, where are they?
Yeah, I love how they're like three grand's like what I paid for my dog. And they're selling tigers.
Yeah, that seems like
grand.
A pretty reasonable price,
right?
Until they get to be 11 feet tall.
Well, that's it. That's the whole thing. Like, for, and that's the problem. For while they're little, like, I would love to have a tiger cub as a pet. And then, right?
I can't wait to cut that. You looked right at the camera. That was just beautiful. That's going. That's still good.
But then at 500 pounds, when it's costing you 10 grand a year. And they were going to Walmart. How funny is they were going to Walmart and getting the expired meat.
The expired meat. Yeah. And then they were taking some of it home that they didn't want to feed to like, the animals.
Oh. He's like, oh, this is still good.
So
like,
I got it.
I'm taking that home.
So
brisket.
One thing that had crossed my mind the whole time I was watching the show is I just got a tattoo last week of three lions on my arm. And I was like, God, if I would have watched this show before, I may not have committed to that.
So you're the new
when we are out of this time and we're out, I'm telling you, it's happening right now. I'm telling you, this will happen.
Here it comes.
We're gonna be out in a bar in Hermosa, and I'm like, Joe, show him the Tiger King tattoo. Show him the tattoo that you got right after Tiger King came out. 100%. I'm gonna do it the first 600 times we're out.
I was watching it going, if I'd have known about this show, I don't know if I would have did this. I might have 100%. Three octopuses on my arm instead.
You are the Lion King now. All right, let's shift gears. What's the best Corona content you guys saw last week?
The guy. I mean, the guy is just taking over the world. The big black dude.
Still.
Oh, he's dude. Have you not seen the new ones? They're amazing.
No, what's the new ones?
Well, the one you sent with them all,
water skiing, that was really good.
So, okay, so here's the thing. We didn't talk about this. So, you know, he passed away.
Yeah.
Okay. Of coronavirus?
No. Don't. Travis, not funny.
Too soon.
He passed away. He got into, so his stage name, he got into porn, specifically gay porn. And his stage name in 1995 was Wood. And so he was in a lot of porno, and then he lived in San Diego in the mid 2000s. He had a pet boa constrictor that he wear around his neck, and that his name was Barry, and he died in 2011.
Huh. I like that you did the research on him.
I didn't look it up. Somebody sent it. It's just like everything about Barry has been going around, but his nickname was Wood, obviously. So have you seen anything, Travis? What's been the best content? I'm going to share mine.
My buddy sent me just like a, what do you call it when you just put the words that you put out the Instagram, which is with words. It says eighth day of self-isolation, and it's like Vegas in my house. We're all losing money by the minute. Cocktails are acceptable at any hour and nobody knows what time it is.
That's perfect. That is, yeah, that's perfect. That is exactly what everybody's house is right now.
I thought that was pretty good.
For me, it wasn't like I went the other way. Like the thing, I guess, I don't know if it was the best content, but it was the one that stuck with me the most. I don't know if you've seen this because it made me, and you guys know I'm not, Joe always wants me to be like more emotional and give like feelings and stuff, and I don't do that, but this got me. It was the way it was presented, it was a doctor in Saudi Arabia who's been working in, you know, ER and all that stuff, and he came home and his son went to run up to him, and the doctor's initial reaction was to back away from his son.
Yikes.
And he immediately like dropped to a knee and started like crying. Because of just the enormity of like A, what he's dealing with probably on a daily basis, which we'll never know.
Right.
And B, like here it is, like he comes home from all this craziness and his son wants to like give him a hug. And his first reaction is, don't touch me. It's like,
right.
That was crazy. Like I was like, oh my God. And I was like, what is this salty discharge coming from my eyes?
That'll make you hug your kids a little tighter for sure.
Yeah, or not.
So, or not, yeah.
All right, so let's get into Travis. Walk us through your day today.
It's more of the same. Got up around 6:15, fed the little guy. And then as soon as I get him to sleep, my daughter wants to get up. And I'm letting my wife sleep because she did the overnight. And she's got to work. You know, she works from home. And so she's still working as I'm on paternity leave. So I go in to get my daughter and then I start making breakfast and then my wife's up, then my son's up again. And it's like, you're just juggling two kids. And I take my daughter outside to draw pictures on the driveway. And then it's back to taking care of my son. And you know, it's
Joe, are you listening to this?
Yeah. Yeah. I did have one question. So you're on paternity leave and your wife's working?
Yeah.
Who had the baby? That's what's messed up
about this whole situation. Like, so she works part-time, so she's not eligible for maternity leave. So she has to work through this. This is the system our country has set up.
Nobody's working, but yet your wife who just had a child is working. You know what? We should take this to the top.
I know, right? You don't even want to talk about that with her. She's like, the Hartford still sends stuff like, oh, you've been denied. When leading up to it, they said that she would get X amount of paid time off and she didn't get any.
Wow.
So, and then Hartford still sends her stuff. She's not happy about it.
So yeah, Dean, I know the question is, would anything be different? No, this is exactly the same.
Would anything be different?
No.
I'm willing to go out on a limb and I'd go through the whole weekend and then nothing would be different.
We could probably go.
Nothing would be different.
Yeah.
As of the week of March 30th, Travis has really not been affected, and I'm knock on wood, I don't want you to be affected in any other way other than right. Just like I want something in your life to change. Okay. Just something.
Well,
hey, my uncle came to visit. You know,
well, nobody's going to be visiting.
You know, he lives in the yard. Like something.
Well, I got to go back to work on the 8th of April, so I'll be working from home then. And we'll see how that goes. Yes. I'm not great at multitasking, as you guys know, and it should be interesting.
All right. So we know Travis's day hasn't changed. We know Joe's day has significantly changed. So what is Joe, how are you dealing with social distancing? Give us some tips as to how you're dealing with it, because you're probably, of all the people I know, you're probably the most social person, or one of the most social people that I know. And you're always like, you got a ton of friends and you're always like here and there. And every time I text you, you're like, oh, I'm out with this guy or I'm here, there. How are you dealing with it? Give us some tips.
Tips. Well, Zoom meetings are fun. We've been playing some online poker for play money.
Cool.
Donkhouse.com. Great site. You know, I've been watching a little more TV than usual, which still isn't a lot.
Oh, that's good.
You know, I've been watching a lot of have you seen on the ESPN Plus, all the UFC, the top 25 fights?
They're showing the fights. Speaking of that.
Good fights.
Khabib, Tony Ferguson's not happening again.
It's never going to happen.
Never going to happen.
They're going to fight when they're like 65 years old.
100%. They're going to be the two guys. Have you seen that video? The two old guys fighting outside the old age home?
No.
You ever seen that video? Go, I'll send it to you both after. That's going to be Khabib and Tony Ferguson. I might actually tweet that out. I think that's a great video. If this fight gets canceled, I'm going to tweet that out.
What I did is I ordered a Peloton. I ordered a fight camp, and I just got emails that both of them are delayed. So it's like 30 days.
Can you get a Peloton right now?
30 days.
It's crazy.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to get a spin bike and then just use the Peloton software and just, I'm going insane. I brought all the jujitsu.
I saw one on Let Go.
Buy it. Bring it over. I brought the jujitsu mats from the rooftop deck, put them in the living room. My whole living room is a gym, essentially. So I've been rolling around with the kids. And I have a jujitsu dummy that I made with pillows and gi. I've been working on that, you know. So it's not a lot of fun over here, Dean.
You've lost it.
I absolutely lost it. It's like going crazy.
Well, I went for a walk over the weekend with the kids, and that was a weird experience. Like I'm finding myself, it's like when I drive, I'm never happy. Now when I walk, I'm never happy because people were walking down the street and people are crossing the street so they don't come in contact with us, and I'm getting offended. And then other people are not giving us enough distance. And I'm like, what the dude, back off. And this is my entire walk. Like I'm stressed. I'm supposed to be happy and I'm stressed because I'm like, why are you walking across the street from me? And then why are you too close? Like it's not going for walks anymore.
You know, one thing I've been doing that's really giving me a little bit of joy is I go for a drive in the Tesla.
Oh,
nice.
There's nobody on the street. So you could just
gas it. On the roads.
You could just gas it, Dean.
I haven't gotten out.
We talked about that last week.
I might actually just go take a ride up PCH and just go up to Malibu and just whatever. And because I really haven't gotten out and just do that.
Go look for Aaron Rodgers' house.
I'm going to look for Aaron Rodgers. And it's just, hey, I'd love to go. You know we'll sit 6 feet apart, but we can go over some stuff.
The thing about the Aaron Rodgers, I'd love to know how many times he was in the airport trying to get out of Peru. And how many times did he say, hey, I'm Aaron, you know, I'm Aaron Rodgers, right? Like how many times did that come out?
Don't you know who I am?
Well, I don't know if that's going to fly in Peru, but
I'm thinking about driving to the Grand Canyon.
On our walks, like we go out, you guys probably have seen the same thing. It's like everybody really just wants to wave and say hi. And hey, how's everything going? Like, hi.
No,
my neighbors did quarantine bingo yesterday. So we all sat in our driveways and like, folding chairs, and one dude went on his rooftop deck and screamed, oh, 64 or whatever.
Really?
And everybody was in their driveways and then like gave a bottle of apple.
We are coming up with some creative ways to do things.
I'm thinking about driving to the Grand Canyon. I've never been. And I'm like, well, I don't have shit to do all week.
That'd be cool.
Just thinking about going.
Sure you could distance
there. Are state parks open or are they closed now?
It's open, but there's like nobody working there. So you could kind of just run amok. I drive.
Go out on the glass walkway for free.
That's great. What happened to Joe? We haven't heard from him in 6 weeks.
He went to the Grand Canyon.
We haven't seen him. All right, Travis. I emailed you a script. God. Pull it up. So if you've been listening, you know what we're about to do. If you're a new listener, Travis, we're going to find the role that is right for him. Travis is going to audition. So this is a little film. You're auditioning for a movie called Braveheart.
Okay.
And so you're a Scottish rebel, William Wallace, and you are fighting for Scottish freedom from England. And this is a scene where William Wallace has started a rebellion. He's won a couple of small battles. Now this is really the big first battle, Lee, with England, with the armies of England. And so this is before the battle. This is William Wallace showing up at the battle, and we're going to have a dialogue. Okay. So your dialogue,
I don't really have a Scottish accent.
Travis, you just play the role how you want to play it. However you want to do it. Okay. All right. You ready?
Sure. Okay.
Where is thy salute?
For presenting yourselves on this battlefield, I give you thanks.
This is our army. To join it, you give homage.
I give homage to Scotland. And if this is your army, why does it go?
We didn't come here to fight for them. Home, the English are too many.
Sons of Scotland, I am William Wallace.
William Wallace is 7 feet tall.
Yes, I've heard. He kills men by hundreds. And if he were here, he'd consume the English with fireballs from his eyes and bolts of lightning from his arse. I am William Wallace. I see before me an army of my countrymen here in defiance of tyranny. You have come to fight as free men, and free men you are. What would you do without freedom? Will you fight?
Fight against that? No, we will run and we will live.
Aye, fight and you may die. Run and you'll live at least a while. And dying in your beds many years from now, would you be willing to trade all those days, all the days from this day to that for one chance, just one chance to come back here and tell your enemies that they may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom?
Okay, pause. All right. So
I'm the worst at this.
William Wallace. He inspires the entire army to an amazing victory in this battle. And if you were leading this army, they would have
gotten rowdy. I would have my speech prepared.
They would have gotten routed. This was not a William Wallace didn't prepare speeches. He was speaking off the cuff. They would have gotten, every single one of them would have gotten killed that day if you had given him the psych up speech. And I'm not even going to read. I gave there's more, but we're not even going to read that part because you, oh my God.
Everybody was like, you know what? The bed sounds good.
Like, we're leaving.
The bed's cool. I'm good with the bed.
The next line is like,
I died a few years.
Next line was like, I'm good. I'm out. We're leaving. All right. Give us a brain of Blandino, Joe.
All right. I've got one. I cheated on this one, but I just can't not use this one. So here we go. $500 bill. McKinley is like, what?
Have you seen a $500 bill?
I've seen pictures of it.
No.
Look up, pull up.
I'm looking it up.
Pull up a $500 bill. Pull up a picture. Did you know who was on it?
No.
Here it is. You can buy one online for $1,425.
Which makes no sense. It's $500. So look at his face compared to like George Washington's on the dollar bill.
He looks pissed.
He looks like pissed. No, like in an arrogant, like what? Like I'm on the $500 bill.
That's right.
Where George is like, I was the first president and I got on a $1 bill. Like he is. And do we know how many different denominations, how many different bills are there?
Well, there's a one, a two, a five, a 10, 20, 50, 100, 500, and there's a $1,000 bill too.
Is that it?
There's a 5,000.
There's a $5,000 bill.
James Madison.
What does he look? How does he look?
Does he look?
That's 5,000.
Yeah.
There's a $5,000 bill.
Yeah, here.
I'm gonna pull it up.
I'm on Investopia.com. Six famous discontinued and uncommon U.S.
Oh wow, there is a $5,000 bill.
Discontinued.
Oh, here's one with Wilson on it. $100,000 bill.
No.
Yeah.
See, James Madison looks like kind of normal in the $5,000 bill.
Yeah, he does.
McKinley's pissed. Like, what's like? He wants to go. Like, he's like, what's up?
Did you look? Didn't they mention something about a $500 bill in the Tiger Show? And that's why I saw it.
Okay. That's why I saw it. Dom Lewis, the guy that got fed to the Tigers by Carole Baskin,
he carried a $500
bill. Carried around a $500 bill, and I was like looking at that. I was like, wow, McKinley looks pissed.
Why is he so mad?
Carole Baskin has it.
Do you think he's? Yeah, that maybe that's the evidence that they're looking for.
The $500 bill.
She's got the $500 bill. We know who did it.
The guy was either that or somebody pushed him over the Gulf of Mexico, 50 feet up in the air. They said
that would have been. I'd rather be fed to the tigers. Because you're stuck out there in the middle of the water.
No, 100% not,
dude. Being stuck out in the middle of the water, like you're just. You're 400 miles away from land or whatever. Forget it. You're dude, that sucks.
With my fair skin, I'd never be able to do it.
But do you even start swimming?
Being eaten alive?
You go into shock after the first bite.
I think they'd kill you. They'd get you quick, dude.
Oh,
yeah, they go right to the jugular. They get you right in the neck and they kill you right away. Neck.
Oh, gee, okay, Caucasian rattlesnake. You've fed a lot of people to tigers?
How about when the tiger did attack old Joe and he started hitting him with his cane? He wasn't even nervous. I would have been freaking.
He was very calm during that moment. Yeah. He fired off a shot just to scare it, but he was definitely... Like, I don't know if I would have been able to not just put that gun to the thing's head and shoot it.
Yeah.
Like, that's crazy.
Insane. That like, whole show's nuts.
Whole show's insane, but all right. Another episode in the books.
That's 30.
This has been Good Calls with Dean Blandino. Please follow me on Twitter at Dean Blandino and Instagram at Dean.Blandino. Follow the show on IG and Twitter at Rules Podcast, and be sure to rate our podcast on the iHeartRadio app and on Apple Podcasts.
Good Calls with Dean Blandino is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.